So we're on Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph. Let's just review the last point that we made. The Gemara says that why is it that according to Reish Lakish, who holds that Chatzis Shir Mutar Min HaTorah but Asur Min HaRabbanan, that's the final conclusion, if a person takes a Shvua that he won't eat a Chatzis Shir and he violates that Shvua, he has to bring a Karban Shvua. And the Gemara suggests the possibility that cave unto Islay Heta Min HaTorah Kachayel Karban Shvua, that since Min HaTorah is Mutar, therefore the Shvua is valid. It's not called Mushba V'Omeid Me'ar Sinai. And that's where we left it last time. So now the Gemara is going to attack that. But tonight we learned in the Mishnah in Masechta Shavuos. Shavuos Ha'edus, Einin Oheges, Elav Ruyim Lahayit. That means if Ruvain is Toveya Shimon for Edus, that means Shimon has Edus on behalf of Ruvain. Ruvain has the right to force Shimon's hand to come forward and give that Edus, so that Ruvain could remove, could be Zocha B'mamon Shal Chavero. And then Shimon, who's now being subpoenaed, so to speak, by Ruvain, Shimon denies that he has Edus. And Ruvain is it takes a Shvuah. Now, how that works is called Shvuah Al Pi Acherim, meaning that the Toveh could be Mashbiah, the individual, force or impose upon him a Shvuah. And if he says, I don't have Edus for you, and then later on it turns out he did have Edus, then he violates that Shvuah and he has to bring a Karban. All this is predicated on two assumptions. Number one, that Ruvain was Toveya, someone who had Edus. And number two, that person could have given that Edus, and that Edus would have been meaningful on behalf of the Toveya to establish his case and to get the Mammon out of the Nitba. So since the person denied that he had Edus, he took the Shvuah, and in truth he had the Edus, so he has to bring a Karban Shvuah. So the Mishnah establishes that halacha, that mechanism, only works if he's Roy Lahayit. If he's possible, if he's disqualified for Edus, that means his Edus would have been meaningless on behalf of the Toveh in any event. So in such a case, he's not Chayav a Karban Shvuah. If Avinin Ba, and the Gemara asks the following question, Lima Ute Mai, why did the Mishnah have to add, these are extra words in the Mishnah, why did the Mishnah have to add this and tell us that you need Ruim Lahayit? We know that already. And the Gemara offers two answers to that question. Rav Papa offers one, and Rav Acha Bar Yaakov another. Rav Papa Amar Lima Ute Melech. If the person who was demanded of him was Edus, and he was a melech. So Rashi quotes the Mishnah in Masechta Sanhedrin that a melech doesn't give Edus, and therefore he is excluded from a Karban Shvuah. Notice, of course, that a melech is not like other psule Edus. He's not Choshed al Sheker, it's not that we suspect that he'll perjure himself in the court of law, but because of Som Tasim Alecha Melech, therefore he cannot give Edus. So at the end of the day, since this Melech cannot testify, therefore his omission of testimony in no way caused the Toveah any loss, because even if he has Edus, he doesn't have the ability to give that Edus. That's the answer of Rav Papa. And the Torah excludes a melech from Edus. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, on the other hand, says, Limute Mesachek Bekuvia. Mesachek Bekuvia, says Rashi, is posel Edus Midrabbanan. And again, exactly why he's posel Edus is a sugya in Sanhedrin. There are different approaches. One approach is that the Rabbanan passed him because he's Eino Osik B'Yeshuva Shel Olam, he doesn't contribute anything to society, he's busy playing cards the whole day. The other day is because he Asmach L'Kanya, therefore he's guilty of Gezel Mid Rabbanan. Fine, whatever it is, the Rabbanan passed him for Edus. So since he's Pasul Mid Rabbanan, therefore he's alleviated from a Karban Shvuah. because at the end of the day, he cannot testify. So what difference does it make whether you accept Rav Papa's opinion that we're talking about a melech and he can't testify because the Torah says that a melech can't testify, or you accept the approach of Rav Acha bar Yaakov, the case of Masach B'Kuvia, he also can't testify because the Rabbanan prevented him from testimony, they disqualified him. At the end of the day, since he can't give testimony, therefore he's not included in the parish of Korban Shavuah. That's what it comes out from the sugya in Shavuah. So we'll get back to that in just a minute. So the Gemara says, "V'amesachik pekubya midoraisa mechzi chazi." On a doraisa level, he is kasher liedus for abonin who depaslua v'lo kachal alei Shavuah. We see that there's no difference between a Doraisa and a Darabanan as far as the Chalos Shvuah is concerned. The Shvuah is invalid and therefore doesn't engender a Chiv Karban Shvuah whether or not the Psul is Doraisa or Darabanan. So therefore, in the case of Shvuah's Bitu, when a person takes a Shvuah that he won't eat a half his ice as Nevela, what difference to make whether on the Doraisa level he's Mushba V'yomid, or whether on the Rabbanan level he's Mushba V'yomid? At the end of the day, the Rabbanan decided that he can't eat the Chatzi Shir of Nevela. So if he can't eat the Chatzi Shir of Nevela, his Shvuah is invalid, because he's taking a Shvuah to contravene the law of the Rabbanan. And just like in the case of Korban Shvuah with Eidus, since the Rabbanan disqualified him for Eidus, so that has an impact, repercussions on the Din Doraisa of a Korban Shvuah. He now is alleviated from the Korban Shvuah. So you see that the Torah recognizes even a Psul Rabbanan as far as Shvuah is concerned. So the same logic should apply in the case of Chatzi Shir, according to Reish Lakish, which we have presented the thesis that Chatzi Shir is awesome in Rabbanan. That should be enough to create Mushba V'yomeid Me'ar Sinai. That's the Gemara's kash. So the Gemara answers, shiny hustle. It's not that the Derabbanan has an impact on a Doraisa halacha, and he's potter from a Korban Shvuah because he's Mesachik B'Kubya and he's possible from a Rabbanan. That itself would not undermine the Torah law of Korban Shvuah. But rather, there in the case of Korban Shvuah, at the beginning of Sefer Yikra, it says, the Yom HaKra, Im Lo Yagit. Imlo Yagid means he could have given Eidus, he had Eidus to give, and he didn't give the Eidus. But Vahai, but this Misachi Bakuvya, Lav Bar Hagadahu Klal. He doesn't have the ability to give Eidus, and therefore he's not included in the parasha of Imlo Yagid. Even though he's only Pasul Derabanan. So what I'd like to do with you is take out the Gemara Shavuos, which the Gemara is referring to, and let's see what the Gemara says about this. The Gemara says, "Eina noheges ele beruim lahay," that this law of Korban Shavuah only applies if the person could have given Eidus. Lafuke mai omer av papa lafuke melech. For Rav Acha bar Yaakov Omar, Lafuki Mesachik Bekuvia. Mandi Omar Mesachik Bekuvia, Kolshkein Melech. There's no question, says the Gemara, that Rav Acha would accept the approach of Rav Papa. Rav Acha is a bigger Chiddush. He's saying that even though Midoraisa he's Koshli Eidus, nevertheless he's alleviated from a Korban Shavuah. Certainly a Melech who has no possibility of giving Eidus on a Doraisa level is exempt from Imlo Yagid for the parish of Korban Shavuah. But here's where the Gemara says something amazing. Umadi Omar Melech, but if we analyze the opinion of Papa, says the Gemara, V'Mesachik B'Kuvya Midoraisa Mechzi Chazi V'Rabbananu D'Pasluwa. Which means that since on a Doraisa level the Mesachik B'Kuvya is Kosher Eidus, therefore he's included in the parasha of Imlo Yagid, and he'll have to bring a Korban Shvuah if he has Eidus, and he took the Shvuah and he refused to give the Eidus, even though Lamaisa at the end of the day his Eidus would be meaningless, because once the Rabbanan passed him from the Shvuah from Eidus, excuse me, so what value does his Eidus have? You see what the Gemara in Shvuah adds here to our sugya in Yuma, which that's why I wanted you to see this Gemara in Shavuos, is that according to Rav Papa, the first opinion in the case of Masachik Pekuvia, he would be chayav a carbon shvua. And why? Because midoraisa is kosher liedus. So our sugya then is predicated on the sheet of Rav Acha bar Yaakov, who says that Masachik Pekuvia is potter from a shvua seidus. Is that clear? Says the Rashba, I don't get it. Nearly. Mikomakom came under Paslua Rabbanon. How could Rav Papa argue with this? How could Rav Papa say that Masachik Bekuvia is Chayav Karban Shvua? Once the Rabbanon passed him, Afilu Yagid, let's say he came to Beis Din and he gave his testimony, what would that be worth? Lo Yischayav Halom Mamon, the Nitba would not have to pay the Tovea any Mamon. Right, the defendant would not have to pay the plaintiff, to use fancy English. Is Lama Yagid. So what value does his Haggadah have? No, it's tachlis. At the end of the day, this testimony would have no impact on the case itself. Torah. When did the Torah say that by denying Edus, withholding Edus, you chayv a carbon shvua? That's only elbim mafsid litovea mamon b'kfiraso. When he denied that he had Edus, he caused the tovea a loss. But in this case, he didn't cause the tovea a loss by omitting his Edus. Even had he testified, the tovea would have no leg to stand on, and he could not force. And Beis Din would not force the nitba to pay any money. So the e hagodah seidus, meaning the absence of hagodah seidus on the part of this Masachik Pekuvia, in no way causes a loss to the tovea. The whole parasha of Korban Shvua and the right that the tovea has to demand edus, and the obligation on the part of the person who has edus to give his edus, is because if he doesn't give his edus, the tovea is going to suffer a loss. In this case, even had he come forward and given his testimony, the tovea would still not be able to force the nitba to pay him, so that the aid did not in any way cause the tovea loss. How can he be chayv a korban shvua? The whole premise of korban shvua is that the absence of edus causes the tovea some sort of financial loss. So basically, to summarize the Rashba, he says, I understand the sheet of Rav Acha bar Yaakov. That makes a lot of sense. Because he says, Lima'ute Masachik Pekuvia, Masachik Pekuvia is part of a korban shvua. But I don't understand the sheet of Rav Papa, who says, no, I need a psul edus d'oraisa, like the case of Melech. In a case of a psul d'rabbanon, since midoraisa, he's michsi chazi, he's royally edus, he's included in the parasha. How can it be included in the parasha? The parasha is predicated on the assumption that the absence of edus is going to cause the tovea loss. Here in this case, the edus wouldn't be worth a dime to the tovea because he can't use this edus, which is possible d'rabbanon, to collect from the nitba. Says the Rashba, mitochad chak. Even though logically I never would have understood this conclusion that he's about to present, which in the Rashba's perspective is revolutionary, but now I'm forced to do so because otherwise I have no explanation for Papa. Yesh li loma, I have to tell you that Masachik Pekuvia and all the other psulim d'rabbanan are actually valuable. They do have, through their edus, a certain edus power. What is the scope of that edus power? Afal pisha ein motzien mamon beedusan. Even though Beis Din could not stand on their edus to force the nitba to pay up, but nevertheless the tovea still has the wherewithal. He still has the possibility of claiming his money, of collecting his money. How? Mahani edusan. These psulim d'rabbanan, their edus would be meaningful and effective in what scenario? The toughest, if the tovea went ahead and he grabbed the money out of the hands of the nitba or some object, afilu beidim, and even if there are edim who testify that we saw him put his hand into the nitba's, you know, through his window and he grabbed a lampshade, is afilu beidim lo mafkinan mine, we don't have the power to force the tovea to cough up that money and return it to the nitba. In other words, says the Rashba, and I learned it from this sugya, says the Rashba, the psul derabanan does not render the edus meaningless. The edus is meaningful in the case where the tovea went ahead, he took the law into his own hands. I don't know if he was encouraged or recommended to do so, but if he did so, and he grabbed that which he claims is rightfully his, and even though the two edim who saw him grab it, nevertheless, Beis Din will not remove him for that moment which he took from the nitva. And why? What evidence does the tovea have to support his claim? I mean, after all, he's basically stealing. There are two edim that saw him put his hand in someone's pocket. What's the answer? Exactly, edus of the masachet.
He's only the masachet already gave his edus.
Yeah.
And then we found out.
Well, no, in this case, he denied his edus. What the Rashba is saying is that he'd been a good guy, he would have come forward and given his edus. And the edus would have been meaningful because it sets up the possibility of tefisa. So let's try to analyze for a moment what is the hava mina of the Rashba, and what is the maskana. Pretty soon we'll see that he gives another approach, a different alternative pshat. But in this first pshat of the Rashba, what was the Rashba thinking in his hava mina? And in effect, it's a hava mina that the Rashba really embraces. I mean, he's just saying mitocha dochak. You know, I have no choice in the matter. But to make some sense out of Rav Papa in the first teretz of the Rashba, I have no choice but to come up with a new maskana. So, what was he thinking in the hava mina, and what was he mechadish in his maskana? So let's focus our attention for a moment on the concept of a psul edus derabon. Let's offer two definitions. We'll call it yeshivish hakira, yesh lachka. What does it mean when the rabbanon imposed a disqualification of psul onto the eid? Can you say it in one of two ways? When the rabbanon do so, what are they doing? Are they doing A or are they doing B?
You could say either they say he's an eight puzzle altogether, or you could say he's an eight kosher, but we won't accept it.
Excellent. Either we could say he is an eight puzzle, forget it. The Rabbanan said he's a puzzle. If he's a puzzle, his edus is meaningless. He's not even a bar haggadah, shall we say. His haggadah is completely null and void. Or no, that's not what the Rabbanan said. The Rabbanan said the Gavra is a kosher aid. But we cannot activate the din and the motzi lefal. We cannot implement the din based on his aids. In other words, what Rabbanan did according to our second definition is they, in a sense, incarcerated themselves, shall I say. They tied their own hands and they said that we cannot actively implement the law based on his aids. It's not that the Avis per se or the Gavra is possible. The Gavra is kosher. The Avis is kosher. But we are unable, we're ineffective as far as using this Avis to activate the din.
The bottom line is no good.
Oh, but what's the Nafkamina? The Nafkamina is what? If we don't have to activate the din. If the Tovea took the law into his own hands. Now, once again, what should we do? Well, if the edus of the posel midrabanan is meaningless, then the act of the tovea is nothing more than simple low-life gzeila, and therefore we have to return the object back to its rightful owner. But if on the other hand the gavra himself and his edus is kosher, just that we can't do anything, we can't actively do anything, but kuvah say, but here we can't actively take the tovea and remove him from the moment. So the Rashba in his Hava Mina understood that when the Rabbanan instituted a psul, the Gavra is posel. Finished. There's nothing to talk about. And therefore, says the Rashba, I don't understand Rav Papa. The Rashba in his answer is Mechadish, that no, that's not the Rabbanan did. They didn't go that far. They didn't undermine the status of the Eid and his Eidus. What they did was they said that Beis Din can't get involved in this case. Okay, it's a non-involvement theory, and it works in two ways. As long as the Nitba is holding on to the money, non-involvement means that Beis Din is not going to take the money out of the hands of the Nitba. Once the Tavea took the law into his own hands and now he's holding on to the money, now the non-involvement theory applies in a different way. And it says we can't get involved to remove the Tavea and undermine his money. That's one way of approaching it. But I want to suggest a whole different way of approaching it. The difference between the Hava Mina and the Maskada of the Rashba is not about the nature of the Psul Eidus, but rather about the nature of the Karban Shvua. There are two ways of understanding how a Karban Shvua works. One way of saying is that the Karban Shvua works on a halachic level theoretically, meaning Karban Shvua is only applicable when I have a Gavra who's capable of giving Eidus, his Eidus qualifies, and we have a Haggadah, and Al Pi Halacha, everything is fine and dandy. The other way of saying it is that no, Karban Shvua doesn't depend on the status of the aid or even the status of his Eidus, but rather on the practical situation financially, on the ground, as I would say. The first definition would say that if he's Pasul Mid Rabbanan, then he's not an aid. And if he's not an aid, it's pointless. And there's no possibility of a Karban Shvua. The second possibility says, no, you misunderstood the parasha of Karban Shvua. The parasha of Karban Shvua is not predicated on the Shem Eid or the Shem Eidus as being halachically valid, but rather the parasha of Karban Shvua depends upon the Tovea. Is the Tovea losing money? Or is he not losing money? Says the Rashba, if you're taking the Karban Shvua from the practical level, what I call Tachlis, T-O-T, right? Then, in the case where the Eidus of the Apostle would be meaningful, as far as what? Tfisa is concerned, and therefore the Tovea lost his rights of Tfisa, then the aid is included in the parish of Karban Shvua. But Rabosa, I think we could say even a lot better than that. You know what? It all depends upon the loss that the Tovea suffers. But the question is, how do I define the loss of the Tovea in a case where the Tovea cannot collect the money based on Bezdin's Psak, but rather he can obviate Bezdin and be Tofes? That's not considered a loss. You can't claim that the aid caused you a loss because you could have stood on the moon and did an act of tfisa. The aid is only responsible for causing a loss because he didn't testify. But if he would have testified, it wouldn't have made a dent of a difference. Comes along the Rashi when he says something else. You know what tfisa is? Tfisa is a halachic right. It's a monetary zchus that the halacha gives to the Tovea. Tfisa is not a new entity, yesh me'ayin, that creates new, as we say in modern Hebrew, uvdot bashetach, facts on the ground. That's not what tfisa is. Tfisa means a right which is granted by Beis Din to the Tovea to go ahead and grab the money into his hands. Therefore, the Rashba in his answer is machadish, a whole new concept of tfisa, in which the aid could have actually, through his aid, has given the Tovea, granted him a monetary right. The halach of tfisa is based on his chus mamon. In the Hava Mina, the Rashba said, no, if Beis Din can't force the nitba to pay up, then the aid would not have actively or passively caused any loss to the Tovea. It all depends upon tfisa works. Tfisa works for a different reason. Tfisa works because the Tovea was Tofes. That's a whole new reality. Says Tosfos name. Says the Rashba name in his first answer. Tfisa is not creating a new reality. Tfisa is a direct result of the Eidus. Although Beis Din cannot actively take the money, but what they can actively do is grant the Tovea rights to be Tofes. And had they done so, based on the Eidus of the Mesachic Bekuvia in this case, then the Tovea was Zoche Bedin. He actually won the case. In what sense did he win the case? What did Beis Din grant him? Zchus Tfisa. I'll give you a mashal, a ma'adov, a domus. If let's say I cause you a damage, but you can't collect the damage. For example, is everybody here familiar with the principle of Kim Leib the Rabbi Minei? So if, for example, I was Mechal Shabbos, and as I was Mechal Shabbos, I ripped your shiraim, I ripped your clothes, so you can't collect from me. Or, for example, I'll give you another case. Alright, so let me just finish that up. But even though you can't collect from me, if you were toe-face, if you grabbed it, it's yours, and Beis Din can't force me to give up on it. Can't force you to give up on it, to cough it up. I'll give you another case. The Gemara says at the beginning of Hakones that Grama bin Ezekin Pot, if I cause you indirectly a damage, you can't sue me for paying for damage as compensation. But the Gemara says, even though he's part of Bidin Adam, he's Chayav Bidin Shamayim. He's Chayav Bidin Shamayim, he really has to pay for it, even though he's only a Goren. Says the Me'iri, at the beginning of Perek HaKodes, that the Nizak, who was damaged, could grab the money from the Mazik, and Bezdin will not be able to force him to return the money. And not only that, says the Me'iri, if the Mazik does not willingly, on his own initiative, pay up, although again, Beis Din can't force him to do so, but if he doesn't pay up, he's Posseliatus. He's a Gazlan. In other words, the Me'iri says that there's something called Achiv Bidei Shamayim, in which I owe you money. Your mammon is in my possession. If I don't give you that money, I'm a Gazlan. Even though Beis Din can't force me to pay. But what do you see from all these discussions? That Tfisa is not just some sort of abstract situation that comes into existence li'achar zman. It's a basis shel onoldo. To use some books in terms, right? No! Tfisa is a result of the fact that the mammon really belongs to him. Just that Beis Din cannot force the nitba to pay up. If that be the case, then the edus of the Mesachic Bekuvia is very relevant. It's very meaningful. It's not just that maybe down the line he'll be Tofes. He has legal rights, according to Choshen Mishpat, to be Tofes. Because basically the Eidus is Kosher. Did you want to say something? Oh, Yechiel wanted to say something.
I don't know if this is relevant, but it seems to me there are two different ways of looking at the Tfisa, whether it's a Schus Beis Din or some other
Schus Tovea.
Schus Tovea or some other creation,
right,
would be a function, maybe going back to what Aaron said, is a function of when this aid gave the aid. I mean, the Schus of Beis Din, it's a Schus Tovea, the grant of a Beis Din, is only because I gave the aid.
Right.
Not if I gave it after the fact. I actually had to give the aid for the basins now to grant the right.
Otherwise, well, Yechiel, again, if the Tovea would grab it before the Eidus, then he's a Gazlan.
Right, but the other way of defining it, if I say it's not that it's a Schus basin for the Tovea, but it's some other invention, then maybe it's just a matter of what, just understanding that I took it, and after the fact it was Eidus, and maybe that would be sufficient to show that I had the
right. I don't think so. I don't think Beis Din is going to even allow for the aid to be made. If a person has two Eidim, that somebody put his hand into his pocket and took out his wallet, then Beis Din right away has to, based on that Eidus, has to remove him from the Bidin Gzela. So again, you may come up with some theoretical construct, but basically, the halach of Tfisa you can only activate it once there was Eidus. If there was no Eidus, even a apostle Yed, if there was no Eidus, then that's Gzela. Okay, I don't want to get off on a tangent in that sense, but let me offer, I made myself a note here, which I knew I was going to forget to mention. So again, one way of explaining what the Rashba is vacillating about is a chakira about the definition of psul avis rabbanim. Is the Gavra posul? Well, no, he's not posul, just that Beis Din can't actively take the money based on his avis. The second way of approaching it is that the chakira is, what's the nature of karbon shvuas eidus? Do you need an eid kosher? Or all you need is gram hefseid mamon atofer, that the water was, I want to call him the nitba for eidus, but make sure you understand what I mean by that. The nitba for eidus was goreim, he caused by not giving eidus a loss to the tovea. And within that approach, we can ask two questions. Is it called a gram hefseid mamon of the tovea if the tovea could be toface? And that depends on whether tfisa engenders a schus mum. Fine. I'd also like to throw out one other logical possibility that crossed my mind, that the vacillation here between the Avmin and the Maskon and the Rashba is, does Besin have a chiyuv to accept the testimony of an aid who's kasher midoraisa but is pasul midorabon? Meaning, even if I grant you that the Tovea through this Eidus has tfisa rights, and even if I recognize those rights as monetary rights, does that mean, therefore, that Beis Din is obligated to accept this aid?
Probably not.
Well, if I assume not, then I'm back to the Havamina of the Rashba. The Rashba is saying there could not be a parish of Karban Shavuos Eidus if Beis Din is not even mechuyev to accept this Eidus. Meaning, the Tovea is being Tovea someone to testimony, and Beis Din is not even obligated to accept that testimony. So the whole parish falls away. The Chiddush of the Rashba in the Teretz is, again, you could go in many different ways here, but one way is to say it is that since Midoraisa, the aid is kosherly aidus, that itself engenders a chiyuv upon Beis Din to accept his testimony. So then the Rashba says, what do you mean Beis Din is mechuyev to accept his testimony? That's an exercise of futility. What's the point to accept his testimony? And the Rashba says that because his testimony is meaningful for Tfisa, therefore Beis Din has to accept his testimony.
Is it accepting or listening to? I don't know if there's a difference.
Right, but yeah, yeah.
To accept it, well, they'll have to listen. They may have to listen to figure out what, you know, what he's testifying about.
What's the point in listening to him if they
okay, so we don't have to listen to him. Again, let's not get off on a tangent. I mean, that's totally irrelevant. No, our discussion is whether Beis Din has to be makabel to say this. There's a chiyuv on a person who has testimony to be made. And there's a parallel chiyuv on Beis Din to accept his aidus. Beis Din can't say to two aidim or even to one aid, get lost, Charlie.
Why not? It's puzzled.
Oh, Midoraisa is kosher. So the Rashba thinks in this Havamina that since Midorabanan is possible, once that halacha psuleidus kicks in, Beis Din is now alleviated from any responsibility to accept his Eidus. And if that be the case, the parish of Korban Shavuos Eidus doesn't go into, it cannot be activated because the parish of Shavuos Eidus is based on the fact that, look, I have a right to demand Eidus from you because that Eidus will be accepted by Beis Din. Comes on the Rashba's name. And it's Yesh Liashin B'dochak, says the Rashba, that Beis Din has no choice in the matter. Whether they like it or not, they have to accept this Eidus. So you'll ask me, why is accepting this Eidus relevant? It's an exercise in futility. The answer is, it's very relevant because it gives the Tovea the rights to be Tovea. Okay.
But, you know, isn't it possible to say that the Rashba's looking at is whether the Eidus actually accomplishes anything or not. Even though theoretically it looks like it accomplishes something, except in fact it doesn't accomplish anything.
Well, I would say the other way around. That on a theoretical level it looks like it doesn't accomplish anything, but on a practical level it does accomplish something.
Well, no, it means it doesn't.
So the Rashban is Havamina was looking on a theoretical level. He says theoretically, once they postled him, he's postled. There's no Karban Shavuos. So what's the Gemara talking about? Rav Papa's talking about. The answer is, okay, on a theoretical level you're right. It's meaningless. He's postled. Who cares whether he's postled or right? He's postled or abundant. Says the Rashban name. But on a practical level, his Eidus is very meaningful. And now here again, as we said before, I don't want to go over it again, but just for kids, sir, you could break it down into another Chakira. Okay, on a practical level, it could be relevant. But who cares? That has nothing to do with the aid. That has to do with a new reality that was created actively by the Tovea being Tofes. No, says the Rashba, the rights of the Tovea to be Tofes are real. They're tangible. And they were engendered by the Eidus. So not only is it practical, but it's practical and directly related to the Eidus. And had he given Eidus, which he didn't do, he would have, through his Eidus, granted to the Tovea rights to be Tofes. That's a very practical right. Because for the rest of his life, the nitbah is going to have to protect himself with security gates because the toveh can actually be tofez and will never be able to get rid of it.
Would the basin give him instructions saying that we cannot take the money out, but if you want to take it, you can? Would that be the sakdin? I mean, would they actually instruct him, do what you want?
I don't know, but wait, just 1 second. What were you saying, Shlomo? You're not happy today.
No.
I don't know why.
No, did you say in the end that
you're
that,
not a happy player?
I'm very happy. Did you say in the end that if they don't let this aid through, then the Toveya will have to watch out because the Nitva...
No, not if they don't let. What I'm suggesting is that the Rashman is Maskan is saying that once Bezin accepts this Eidus, there's a very real gain on behalf of the Toveya because the Nitva for the rest of his life is going to have to protect himself not only against regular Ganovim, that's bad enough, but let's say he lives in a beautiful society, you know, where there are no Ganovim, so he doesn't have to worry about it, lock it up with a fence. But here, he's going to have to lock it up for a fence because the Toveya is not a Ganov. He has rights to be Tofei.
Even outside Bezdin.
Outside Bezdin. He can completely circumvent Bezdin. So, again, we're talking about a case where Bezdin accepted the Eidus of someone who midoraisa is kosher.
So the bottom line is, according to Rashba, this Pasal Eidus, according to Rabban, is left through the front door of the Bezdin for one reason only, because of Tfisa.
Correct. Okay. And now the Rashba takes an about face. And he says, no, forget everything I told you. It was all very nice, but it's all... it's all a lot of bunk. It's not real. It's not true. The aid is puzzle, and feast is not relevant. Says the Rashba, Inami, Efshoy the Rav Popper Rav Achi Rav Acha Pligi, the plug to the Rav Lozer Rav Shimon Rav Bonon, the Dovar Agoreim LeMamon Ikemamon Dami Ilo. In other words, the Eidus itself would not have caused the Toveh any loss, correct? But it could have indirectly caused the loss. Why? Because the Nitba sees the aid and he chaps a pacha. So what does he do when he sees the aid? Aidim emashmashin ubay in the Gemara's language in a few places. He admits, he confesses that he owes the money. Says the Rashba, Shema, again, underline the word Shema, because the word Shema is a thorn in our sides here. But Shema, it's possible, ha'acher, meaning the nitba, yizbaye, shall be so bushed out, ain't on the maze, part of a faith balchom, in front of an aid, he's going to have the husband's punim to deny that he owes the money? And therefore, it's dovra goreim lamama. And the question is, how do we view dovra goreim lamama? I think what the Rashba means is that in general, the whole Parsha Shavuos Eidus is built on Dovra Gorim Lamom. I mean, really, in effect, the aid is not responsible for stealing the money of the Toveah. Even if he denies the Eidus, he didn't steal anything from the Toveah. But by not giving his Eidus, the Toveah suffers a loss. That itself is a grama. But on top of that, there's another grama element. It's grama to grama. Why is it a second element of grama? Even had he given his Eidus, the Nitba would have denied it, and the Toveh has no recourse. But maybe, says the Rashba, the Nitba, we're having seen the apparition of an aid kosher, you know, he sees this guy coming in to be made, he would have broken down, he would be too humiliated to deny in front of the aid who saw him that he took the money, and therefore, it's possible, that's the Shema in the Rashba, that he would have paid up. And therefore, the aid is chayv a carbon shvuah. Why? Because had he testified, maybe the nitba would have broken down and admitted that he owes the money.
You're saying just his presence, not even his testimony.
Maybe his presence. I don't know. It says b'fnei aid. I don't think he's an aid unless he testifies. But his testimony would be meaningful because the nitba would admit that he owes the money. Why is that possible? He says, because ain't other may is punim if they are aid. But that's only a grama. Says the Rashba, Rav Shimba, Rav Lozman, Rav Shimon holds in many places in Shas that what? Dovra gorim lamamin. Kimamin dami. It's considered like efsed mamin. Now the Rashba backtracks a little. Wait a minute, I have to add another point. He says, kava to be the rice of kosher. You know, this is not a dovra gorim lamamin kimamin. Let's say he fakes out the nitba, and the nitba thinks that he's kosher. That would not... you need a chiyuv eidus. He says on a deraisa level, he's kosher li eidus. V'hu goreim lemamon is therefore he's chayev mashenkin bekrovim. Let's say he was related to the tovei of the nitba, and he's possibly the raisa. You have to start with one premise. There's a chiyuv edus to rice. On top of that, you have to say that had he fulfilled this chiyuv edus, there is a logical possibility that he would have caused the tovea a loss. And why? Because the nitba is in a situation of how is this punim if ne edo. And therefore, he might break down.
So, where's the power? Where's the power?
Wasn't there a second aid right from the start? Was he a kosher aid?
You're asking that alone should engender ain't on the maids. Yeah. So, there may be two answers to your question. Either there was only one aid.
In that case,
so, again, for that, we have to learn the sugya in the fourth parak of Shavuos, whether one aid is chayv in a carbon Shavuot. And number two, it could be that ain't on the maize pun of works in the case where Adam came in one after the other. So when the first aid came in, that itself might have scared the nitba to admit. Or maybe when he sees the power of two Adam, then he'll admit. You know, since there's only one aid, he's not going to break down. But in any event, the Rashba says that the logical possibility that the nitba would have confessed the crime and paid up, which is called Odas Paldin, that itself makes the aid into a Gorim Lamam. He caused the Tofeya.
So the Rabbanan's ban on this person really just dissipates. We open the door to him in Beit Din because of all these reasons.
Well, wait a second. First of all, keep in mind, Shom, that we're only explaining Rav Pop. Nothing that we said today is true according to Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov says that apostle Eidus Mirabonin is equal to, identical to, apostle Eidus Doraisa. Again, finito. You know, write him off. He could do tshuva, but in the meantime, write him off from Hilchus Eidus. He doesn't have any status as an aid. Okay. Now we're up to paragraph number two, and namely Rav Papa. Rav Papa says, no, the Doraisa is kosher. So what good and what? How effective is the ban, as you call it, against this aid? Because it's Masach B'Kubi's possible Rabbanan. The answer is Beis Din's hands are tied. They can't force the nitva. If the nitva is a real action, and he's going to deny that he owes the money, call him a shakran if you will. I don't care. But he's makhish the tviya of the tovea despite this aid. Then that's it. Beis Din is not going to rely on this aid. So I wouldn't say that even according to Rav Papa, the ban or the disqualification of this aid is meaningless. It's very, very meaningful. However, according to the first answer of the Rashba, this aidus would be effective to grant or bestow on the Tovea eschus tfisa. According to the second answer of the Rashba, this aid might be, again it's a suffering, but he might be a Goreim Hefseg Mamon. And why is he a Goreim Hefseg Mamon? Because we paskin that Dovra Goreim Lamamon, according to this opinion, is Kim Mamon. By the way, it's very fascinating that the Rashba quotes the halacha of Dovra Goreim Lamamon Kim Mamondom. I mean, this is way afield for us, but Dovra Goreim Lamamon Kim Mamondom, Lechora, has nothing to do with this discussion. In fact, what the Rashba should have quoted is the halach of Grum ibn Ezekiel. Is the aid of Mazik, because since had he come, the nitba would have buckled over, and he would have confessed that he owes the money, Hodas Maldin, that makes him a Goreim Hezek. But maybe the Rashba holds that in general, Grum ibn Ezekiel is irrelevant to a Karban Shavua, because a Karban Shavua is based on Grum ibn Ezekiel. We're assuming that Grum ibn Ezekiel is Chayav, call it the Din Shemayim, whatever it is, it's enough to engender a Karban Shavua. But here we have a second Goreim, and somehow the Rashba identifies the second Goreim as you pile them up with the Sugi of Dovra Goreim Lamam and Kamamant. So I'll just throw out one sentence, but don't vitishkak, it's not for us now. Dovra Goreim Lamamon means that you can create Mamon through a Grumma situation. And what the Rashba is trying to say here is that Karban Shvu is a result of the fact that you took someone's Mamon. That's the Chiddush of Karban Shvu. By not giving this Avis, you took the Tovea's Mamon. But the question is, it's not Mamon. And the answer, if it's Goreim Lamamon, it could be considered Mamon. Okay, that's for those of you learning, or have learned Psachim, the question of whether Goreim Lamamon makes it into Bailus for Bal Yerov Bal Yemotz in Chometz, that's the Sugya.
This connects to Rish Lakish.
Rabosai, ad kan. Now, hold your questions for the rest of the shiur. We want to discuss chatzi shiur. So it's going to be a chatzi shiur on a chatzi shiur, which makes it into a quarter of a shiur. So what is it about? The Gemara says that according to Rabbi Yochanan, chatzi shiur is awesome in a Torah. Why? Why is chatzi shiur awesome in a Torah? So if you take a look in the Gemara offers two different approaches, which is very strange. Why does the Gemara offer two different approaches? On the one hand, the Gemara says that chatzi shiur asim in a Torah because chazi litz tarufe. You could take the chatzi shiur, and if he eats another chatzi shiur, at the end of the day, he could accumulate an entire shiur. But then the Gemara quotes a brisa, and the brisa says the chatzi shiur is derived from a pasuk of kol chelev, which means that the extra word kol in the parash of chelev indicates that even less than a shiur of chelev is asur. So if you happen to have this sheet, which I photocopied for you from the encyclopedia, he's very bothered by this, you know, these two roads that diverge in the yellow wood here. What is the source and the basis for chatzi shiur? So in the paragraph that begins Bitam Shaladas Rabbi Yochanan, again in the first paragraph he presents these two different sources for Rabbi Yochanan. Is it Kevon Shechatzi Shir Chazin Tzarufe, therefore Chatzi Shir is awesome in a Torah, or is it because of the Drasha of Kol Chelev? He even has one Brisa that learns it not from Kol Chelev, but from a combination of Kol Chelev, Kol Nevela, Kol Dam, it's Chelev, and Nevela and Dam. So now he says the following, and he's quoting a Tosus that we have to learn at some point. Bitam, in the reason, Shaladas Rabbi Yonan Tzarech Heines Aribu Mikol Cheve Heines Asfar Shal Chazasuf. Why not one without the other? So his first approach is, again, you'll see it in footnote number 21 in the name of Tosfos, which again, we'd have to learn this Tosfos, but let's just see his summary of Tosfos. She'isur chatzi shir nilmad mikol chelev. The source for chatzi shir is kol chelev, according to Tosfos. We'll soon see that the Ran disagreed. So why do we need chazi litz tarufe? He says, Ella. Shelulei hatam sheroy litztarev lo hayinu mefarshim haribui sharibui ba lesar chatzi shiur. We could have used the word kol chelev in the pasuk kol chelev for other things, but why do we use it? What tempts us? What entices us to use kol chelev and interpret it as chatzi shiur? The chazi litztarufe svara. So the chazi litztarufe is only a proof or a logical reason that compels us to accept the drasha of kol chelev, but at the end of the day, the reason why chatzi shiur is asur is because of kol chelev. So which becomes primary now, according to Tosfos? Which becomes secondary? Kol chelev becomes primary, and chazi litzaruf, it becomes secondary. It's only a hochacha in order to establish and bolster the derivation of kol chelev. Then he says, "V'yesha kosvu." This is in footnote number 25 in the name of the Ran. Shereb Yochanan she'amar atam chazut sarufe balafarish tam akosuf. In other words, if you ask me why chatzi shir is asur, the answer is not because of kol chelev, but rather because of chazut sarufe. Because if we didn't have the explanation, the logic of chazi litztarufe, we would have said that with regard to chelev, the Torah says kol chelev. Or with regard to yisurei kares, the Torah says chatzi shir. But chatzi shir would not be asur beyond the confines of chelev, or beyond the confines of chiyuvei kares. Why is chatzi shir asur in kol yisurei Torah? And the answer is because of chazi litztarufe. So now, Rabosai, I ask you the following question. What difference does it make? Who cares, as we'd say? I'm being very cynical here. But what I mean to say is there a nafkamina here between saying that chatzi shir is also because of kol chelev, or saying that chatzi shir is also because of chazi litztarufe?
One is written in the Torah, and the other one is Svara, which Okay.
So listen to this. I want to present to you something that's on a page later on, and you tell me whether you buy into this. Okay? He says the following. A man takes a shvuah that he won't eat these fruits, and he points to the fruits. And somebody comes along and eats the fruits, but he leaves chatzi shir of the fruits. Whatever it is. So the question now is, the person who took the shvuah, is he allowed to eat the other half that's left? In which case he violates half of his shvuah. So he quotes here, this is footnote number 116, in the name of Rabbi Kivega. Not bad, Rabbi Kivega. Again, I couldn't photocopy the whole article. The article is about 50 pages long. So he says in the name of Rabbi Kivega, Mutulo li ochlo afla sovrim shechatzi shir hasu ben haTorah. Since there's nothing left of sefer chatzi shir, says Rabbi Kivager, there's no chatzi shir asur min haTorah.
There's no danger.
Not only that, he goes a step further. He says that if he eats chatzi shir on Yom Kippur before nightfall in such a way that he has no other possibility of eating the second half of the shear on Yom Kippur, it's v'sof hayom, v'ein shehus v'yom kidei lahashlim v'shear, ein iser min haTorah, there's no iser of chatzi shear. He gives another example of a nazir at the end of his shloshim yom, right before shkia on the 30th day, he drinks half the shear of yayin. And all these examples have one thing in common. And what is that? There's no chazilut staruf. It's impossible to be mitzare for another half a shir. Again, he's operating with the logic behind kol chelev is chazilut staruf. It could be, I mean, I don't know if this is what you had in mind, Shalom, that maybe if any of these scenarios would come up in Chelev, where we have a separate Xerus HaKosuv called Chelev, maybe you'd be in violation of an Issur Torah. But what I mean to say is that above and beyond Chelev, which has its own Pasuk, we expand and universalize the Halach of Chatzi Shir Asur Min haTorah based on the reasoning of Chatzi of Chazilut Tzarufe. Therefore, says Rabbi Kivega, if Chazilut Tzarufe applies, then it's chatzi shir asur min haTorah. But if there's no possibility of applying chazilut tarufe, then it's mutar min haTorah. One second, I'll just finish one thing. I'm sorry. Who disagrees with Rabbi Kivega? The yesh sovrim shechatzi shir asur min haTorah af kishein ol chazilut tarufe. This is the Ksos HaChoshen, the Avni Miluim. V'lachein af chatzi shir biyom haKippur b'sof hayom asur min haTorah. And what would be in the case of Shvua, where half the payros were gone, and there's no way of getting them back, and there's a Chatzi Shir without Chatzi Sufi, you would still violate the Isur of Chatzi Shir. And so too in the case of Nazir. And how does the Avni Balum explain himself? He says, She'ein anu darshim taima dekra. We don't give reasons for a pasuk. So Chavosai, there's a machlokas. What happens to Chatzis Shir when it's not Chazilut Tarufe? Is he awesome in a Torah? Is he not? It's a machlokas between Rabbi Kivager and the Ketzos. Let's go back to our paragraph now. B'tam Shaladas Rabbi Yochanan. Why does Rabbi Yochanan offer Chazilut Tarufe as well as Kol Chelev? Yesh Mirishon Shekos V'Shisur Chatzis Shir Nilmad Mi Kol Chelev. Just that we have a problem. We're not sure what to do with the word kol. So we're going to use a svara. That svara sometimes applies and sometimes it doesn't apply. But that's irrelevant because that svara only allows me to do what? To dash and kol chelev. So again, in footnote number 21 in the name of Tosfos, the reason why chatzi shir is asur min haTorah is because of kol chelev. You want to give your explanations and your proofs, that's fine. But at the end of the day, the Torah says Chatzis Shir is awesome, period. For Yeshe Kosvu, then he quotes in footnote number 25, the Ran. And the Ran says, you know what? The reason why Chatzi Shir is awesome in a Torah is because of Chaz Chazi Litzarufei. What's the nafkamina between, as I asked you before, whether the halacha of Chatzi Shir awesome in a Torah is derived from Kol Chalev or whether it's derived from Chazi Litzarufei? Nafkamina is going to be a case where there's no Chazi Litzarufei. This whole machlokes between Rabbi Kivager and the Avdi Veluim revolves around the issue of what is the nature of Chatzi Shir awesome in a Torah. And let me read to you another line over here. He says, Yesha Kosvu, there are those who say, 130, this he quotes in the name of Rebbe Chana, Shadover Tolui, the issue of a case where it's not Chazi Tzarufi, like Yidach Yatzishir, right there at the end of Yom Kippur, Tolui, together, it depends how you define Chazi Tzarufi. Haim hu Sibasa Isur, is Chazi Tzarufi the reason why it's Asur? Therefore, lefichak she'eno royal it's tarif mutter. O Dilma, Chazi Tzarufi eino Sibasa Isur, elagak ho chacha she'yesh Isur.
How much time
exists
between the Rashba and
Rabbi Kivager? Several hundred years, right? Wait, where was the Rashba? I lost you on the Rashba. The Rashba that we did before about Masachet Bekuvia? No. You threw me for a loop over there.
17 of the Rashba.
Oh, okay, cool. Okay, Rabbi, so I'm going to just add one last point here, which I thought was fascinating. And that I found on page 30 of this article. He says he wants to know what violation do I violate in the case of Chatzi Shir? Chatzi Shir Asa Ben HaTorah. So what Iser have I violated? So in footnote 199, he quotes the Gemara in Makkos, and he says, Yesh Sovereign, based on this Gemara in Makkos, Sha'afal Pisha Chatzi Shir Asa Ben HaTorah, Eino Mushba Olav Me'ar Sinai. In other words, he says that Mushba V'yomim Me'ar Sinai only applies to Kol Ha'isurim Sheba Torah. Each one has its own status, its own shame Isur, its own character and personality. But in the case of Chatzi Shir, there is no personality because Chatzi Shir doesn't belong to any particular Isur. Ein bo lo lav v'lo esei ela Isur stam. It's some sort of generic Isur. It's a faceless, anonymous Isur. And therefore, since it has only an Isur Stam, and it doesn't fall under any particular lav, therefore the principle of Mushba V'yom Harsinei doesn't apply. That's one opinion. But of course, that opinion is based on a sugya in Makkos, which we didn't learn. When we open up our sugya, the Gemara applies Mushba V'yom Harsinei to Chatzi Shir Asa Min HaTorah. The Gemara even wants to say even further than that, that maybe Chatzi Shir Asa Min Rabbanan according to Reish Lakish is enough to apply the principle of Mushba V'yomim Me'ar Sinai. So then let me ask you a question. If Mushba V'yomim Me'ar Sinai, according to this Shita, would not apply to an Isur Stam, and therefore, according to this Shita, Chatzi Shir is an Isur Stam, and therefore there's no Mushba V'yomim, but what about according to our Sugya in Yuma, where we're applying the principle of Mushba V'yomim to Chatzi Shir? So what is Chatzi Shir? If it's not an Isur Stam, then where does it fall? What is the source of the Isur? What's the answer? No. Again, we're going according to Man Yom Chatzi Shir Asim in a Torah, and we're saying that if it's an Isur Stam and it doesn't have any personality, it's not a lav, it's not an essay. There's no Mushba V'yom Me'ar Sinai. Our sugya applies Mushba V'yom Me'ar Sinai to Chatzi Shir Asim in a Torah, but isn't it an Isur Stam? Is the answer is that it's not an Easter Stam. No, if it's not an Easter Stam, so what is it? Where is the lav? What is the nature of the Easter? I eat a half a shear. What is the nature of the Easter?
Because it's Tzarufe.
Good, fine. Because it's Tzarufe, but what is the nature of the Easter?
No.
Oh, Los Sos is an Easter Stam.
No.
Los Sos is a classical case of an Easter Stam because Los Sos doesn't spell out a Chatzi Shear. What? Okay, Chalev, yeah, but a man eats a half a shear, half a zayis of nevela. So what, he ate Chalev? He's in violation of the Isur Kol Chalev? Kol Chalev, L'chor is also an Isur Stam, because Kol Chalev is telling me that anytime you eat a Chatzi Shir, you violate an Isur. But what's the nature of that Isur?
No, it depends on whether you're talking, saying the Isur is on the Gavra, or it's on the Heftzah.
All right. Say the Isser is on the Gavra.
Then it's an Isser Stam.
It's more than that. The fact is, when it's a Chatzi Shir, it's a Chatzi Shir, according to Reish Lakish, it's nothing. The reason it's nothing is because it's the whole Isser is in the Achila. And until it reaches the...
Wait, Alan. Can I trouble you? Just only because we're pressed for time.
Yeah.
Let's focus on Rabbi Yochanan now, because if we go with Reish Lakish, I think we're off. I'm asking the following question. The Gemara says that according to Rabbi Yochanan, if a man takes a shvua that he won't eat a half a zayis of nevela, that shvua is meaningless because he's mushba v'yomim, because Chatzis is also
we're talking about Rabbi Yochanan here.
Great. The fact is, so now get back to Yochakir about Gavra and Chepz. I like that. But the question is, can you use that terminology?
Absolutely. Because when you took a shvua that you wouldn't eat this stuff that's right here.
Yeah.
Because half of it disappears. Doesn't make any difference because when you're in the shvua,
you're close, but you're not there again. I want to ask you, what iser did I violate? Call it an iser chevta. But what iser did I violate when I eat chatzis shir in the nevela? And what's the answer on both sides?
It's nevela.
Nevela, exactly.
That's what I'm trying to say.
That every single chatzi shir is a violation of that particular law. I thought the whole island would say that. It's good that Alan said it, but why didn't everybody else say it? Rabbo said there are two ways of learning chatzi shir, and this, in my mind, is the most fundamental chakira you could have about chatzi shir. Does chatzi shir take on the violation of that particular isur? So if I eat a chatzi shir of chelet, if I violated chelet, if I eat a chatzi shir of veil, I violated the veil. If I eat a chatzi shir of chametz, I violated the isur chametz, etc., etc. Or no, there is no chatzi shir of the veil. There is no chatzi shir of chametz. There is no chatzi shir of dam or chelet or whatever have you. There's a general generic Iser which is called Iser Stam of Chatzi Shir. And Rabosa is going to be a tremendous nafkamina. Because let's say, for example, I have a chola and I could feed him Chatzi Shir to save his life. Do I choose one type of Chatzi Shir over the other? Again, assuming medically there's no difference. I just have to work with my theoretical scenario here. You can save a person's life by giving him chatzi shir. There's no need to give him a full shir. Not only that, you can save his life by giving him any chatzi shir. Okay, just a theoretical construct, right? I can give him a chatzi shir of chelev, or I can give him a chatzi shir of nevela. Is there a system of priorities here, or it doesn't make any bit of a difference? And what's the answer? It depends on our chakira. If chatzi shir is an iser stam, it doesn't take on any particular personality. Then, what difference to make whether I give him a chatzi zayis of chelev or I give him a chatzi zayis of the vela? But if, on the other hand, chatzi shir is mushba v'yomei marasina like our sugya, that means it takes on the complexion of that avera, then there's a big difference between an avera of chelev and an avera of the vela. Because what's the punishment incurred by chelev? Kares. You see that chelev is a more abominable objection, it's a more heavy or chumradik avera than the Aveira of Nevela. So those Rishonim who maintain that Mushba V'yomim Me'ar Sinai applies to Chatzis Shir Asa Ben HaTorah, means that Chatzis Shir is an Isur Mesuyam, it's not this just generic Isur Stam or Isur Klali, they will make a distinction in terms of which Chatzis Shir you want to avail yourself of. Every single Chatzis Shir will have its own rules and regulations. And I'll go even beyond that. There are certain isurim which the Torah prohibits even shalo kiderech achilosam. Like, for example, basa b'cholav or klaya kerem or asur even shalo kiderech achilosam. Does that halach of shalo kiderech achilosam apply to the chatzi shir? If I eat a chatzi shir of basa b'cholav, a chatzi shir of klaya kerem, is that a violation of chatzi shir if I do it shalo kiderech achilosam? The answer is it depends. If it belongs to a generic term, what we call an Issa Stami, then I don't know if we can expand that Issa to include even Shalom Kedar. But if, on the other hand, it takes on the personality of the Shem Issa Mesuyam, as you call it, Alan, a Chefta Dissura, it takes on that Chefta, then it might be also, even if it's Shalom Kedar. So again, anyone who wants to go through this 40-page article, please either borrow mine, which is a lot cheaper than photocopying it. And if not, if you have access to the Bar Ilan, you know, Shoot Project, then you can get it online. Tomorrow is just the keys. Again, anyone who wants to learn a Pshat Shiur, that'll be at 11 o'clock, and then at 12:15 we'll have a Chumash Parsha Shiur.
I think that was quoted Tyson's. Tyson says Klar. Seems to me, he says Klar.
Ask the question. Well, 11 o'clock will be a fast-paced year. Yeah, and 12:15 we'll have a Parsha Shiur. Okay, then?
Okay.
We'll have a break in the middle, don't worry. We'll do it Rabbi Meyer style.
Tyson says here, in Yoma.
Can you get
says,
by?
It says, Patema, why does Rabbi Yochanan come to say that Chazal Strufe, which is going with Savara, when he could go with a Pusik, and he can on solid ground with a Pusik and use Kol.
Right.
By Kui we're talking about here now.
Okay. Right, so why do we need Pusik?
He says, why do he says because Kui is not a good solid reason. Says because it's a smachta bialma.
But Kol, if you put Dam Chalev and the Vela together, he says it in the first paragraph.
Right.
Put Dam Chalev and the Vela together and you get this all encompassing Chatzi Shir. But put all three. Because you have called three times.
Yeah, but
then let's read the Tosin song.
Okay, read the Tosin, she'll say.
Tema, Amai Loka Omar. Why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan offer the answer? Tema, Dibisom, as the Gemara says later on. They call Chalev Rabbos Katsi Shir.
Right.
And not only that, Rabbi Yochanan Yodala Hu Braisa, why does Rabbi Yochanan have to spell out Chazi Litzarufe? Bishum Di'imi Kro, they call Chalev. If we only had the Pasuk called Chalev, we would have used it for something else. I would have thought, Ikar Kro, Lekoi. Lekroy Isterich. That's what we need it for. But Chatzi Shir is only Midrabbanon.
Right, exactly.
But Hashta the Kamar, time of the Chazin Starufe, once we have the Svar of Chatzin Starufe, now we go back to the Drush of Kol Chalev, and Enochinami, Rabbi Yochanan, is based on Kol Chalev, Avi Drush of Gmurihi, Lechatzi Shir. What is this Dalet add over here? Just give me a second.
No, it's very good. The Bach adds one word that's very important.
Should be the Easter Chatzi Shir, I think. Let's see, what is the Bach in?
No, it didn't.
Rosh Gemura, he Nami Lachatzi Shir, right? Nami, in addition to Kai, it's in
Kai. Yeah, it really all hinges on Chazal Tzarufi.
Well, not really. It hinges on Kol Chalev. Chazal Tzarufi is only necessary because otherwise, I'm not sure if I should derive Chatzi Shir from Kol Chalev. So but Tosis certainly submits and maintains that the bottom line, that the source and the reason why Chatzi Shir is awesome in a Torah is because of Kol Chalev.
Yeah, but obviously this is not a clear Masorah. Because if this was a clear Masorah, you wouldn't have to say, I needed a Chazal Tzarufi
okay.
to tell me
but
that.
But I'm just pointing out that this whole business here, in the name of Rabbi Kivega, that if it's not Chazal Tzarufi, then we don't apply Chatzi Shir.
Yeah, but I don't understand.
I don't think that Tosis is going to buy into that because Tosis is maintaining Kol Chalev. You may have doubts as to whether or not to apply the drasha rule of Kol Chalev, but once you apply the drasha of Kol Chalev, Tosis calls it a drasha gemura. If it's a drasha gemura, you can't play games with a drasha gemura.
But the only thing I don't understand is the one case. Rabbi Yeager is correct in all the other examples he gives there, but in the case of where he takes a shvua not to eat a certain mesuyim thing, and half of it's gone, and there's only half of it left, and he says that you're not over on anything because of that, because it's not Chazal Tzarufi.
Right.
Don't understand that. Doesn't make any sense to me at all. Because Chazal Tzarufi is just a qualification when you're starting with a Chatzi Shir. You're starting with a Chatzi Shir and you want to know, is anything going to come of this or not? But we're going the other way backwards now. When you take the Shvua, you took a Shvua on the whole amount of thing, and now that half of it is gone, doesn't matter because half of what you took the Shvua on, you're still mushba on that you can't eat it. And I don't see how he gets around that. It doesn't matter
that he won't eat these pears. Like the whole.
Yeah, but he didn't say. Well, then again, whether you go with Rabban or Rabbi Akiva, and what it takes a Shvua. But the fact is, but if you want to say that he said, I will not eat
Let's say he says, "I would not eat a kazayas of this fruit."
Kazayas, okay? All right.
And then you split
problem.
It in half, all and right. half it is gone. No, it burnt up.
Problem. Don't have a problem with that.
So he says you're potter in that case.
Yeah, I would say he's potter too because he can't eat a kazayas. He can't eat a kazayas. There's no way. There's no kazayas.
So that's correct.
That's right.
If you assume that chazi tsarufe is the sibas ha'isur.
Yeah, but if you say, but
I'm not sure that chazi tsarufe is the sibas ha'isur.
Yeah, but if you say it's the sibas ha'isur only when you're working.
It's a whole chaka,
yeah, know? But you're working from the backwards down. I don't understand how he said it because unless he said, if we assume when he said stam, I won't eat from this mesuyim amount of food. If half is gone, it doesn't matter. He won't eat from this food. So you don't need chazil itzterufe at all.
But again, forget about. Let's leave out the case of a shvur.
It became chazer.
Let's leave out the case of a shvur for a second. Let's give you a different case. Let's say it's erev yom. It's Leil, I'm sorry. It's Leil Motzi Yom Kippur, right? We're going into Motzi Yom Kippur. He eats a half a shear before shkia. There's no way possible that he could finish the shear.
That's right.
But he ate half a shear. So you're going to tell me he didn't violate Chatzi Shear? Well, that's exactly what Rav Kiveva says. Why? Because there's no possibility of chazal tzarufa. It's like you see one thing. Says Rav Elchanan, Rav Kiveva is operating with the assumption that chazal tzarufa is the sibas ha'isur. And if it doesn't exist, then the isur is not active.
But Rav Kiveva.
But says Rav Elchanan, it's not clear that all the Rishonim maintain that chazal tzarufa is the sibas ha'isur.
I hear him say, you know what? He wants to hold it's stam.
Other Rishonim hold that no, that kol chalev. Kol chalev means that every single piece of this chalev is awesome.
I wouldn't argue with that either, but still, Rabbi Kiveva is on solid ground with his svara altogether.
And Rabbi Elchanan is not rejecting Rabbi Kiveva. Yeah. He's just saying that Rabbi Kiveva is standing on the shoulders of one particular approach and definition.
Exactly. But except the first case, I couldn't understand. I just don't understand why he would say that when he take a shmur not to eat this amount, or eat from this substance, and half it's gone makes no difference whatsoever. Because it's the instant that he said, "I won't eat from this," it becomes nevela. It becomes mamish. It becomes aser.
Right, but he has no possibility of completing the shear.
But he didn't. He didn't stay shear. So
he said, "I won't eat all these peros." You want to get a hold of Rabbi Kiveva? If you want to see Rabbi Kiveva, this is just the summary of Rabbi Kiveva. So Rabbi Kiveva is 116. It's in the Chuvus, I think. Shut Rabbi Kiveva Kuf Nun Dal. He also quotes another tshuva here. He quotes another tshuva of the Rivash. The Rivash is in Simon Reish Peches.
This is the Encyclopedia Talmudi.
This is Encyclopedia Talmudi.
I have that on my.
So make a note of it. Chatzi Shir, which is in volume.
That's a big deal.
Volume number Tetzayin, and it's footnote number 115. Okay, then?
Thank goodness it's Chatzi Shir and not Shir Kambach.